Hello, welcome to the Lean of Plants podcast. My name is Chelsea, and if you are struggling to lose weight on a plant-based diet, then this podcast is for you. While there are thousands of books, podcasts, and resources about the benefits of a plant-based diet, the reality is that being vegan does not guarantee losing weight. If you are feeling frustrated and confused about where to start, or you know exactly what you should be doing, but you just can't seem to rustle up enough willpower to do it, then keep listening. In this podcast, you'll learn the truth about plant-based weight loss, but just as importantly, how to use proven methods of behavioral change to turn what you know into lifelong habits that lead to getting and staying lean. Can't wait to get started. Let's do this. I would just love to hear like a little bit about your story and kind of who you were, like what your dieting history is. Tell me a little bit about like who is Nikki? Where does she come from?
Yeah. So I guess a little bit about myself, like my profile when you think about joining the program.
That sounds like a serial killer.
Definitely far from that. I'm a mom. I have two young kiddos. They're 6 years old and almost 2 years old. They're awesome. They keep me super busy. A busy working mom. I work at a Fortune 500 company. I have a global role. I have kind of unique hours in my role where I have to like sometimes do early morning calls and manage that with kiddos going, you know, out the door. Or sometimes I'll do like evening calls with, you know, people in other time zones. And I've always been a really active person. I used to be a martial artist. Like being active was something that was like super part of my identity that I have kind of, struggled with. Like when I became a mom, I kind of lost some of that. And just like overall, like my personality is like the overachieving perfectionist type. I come from, I'm like a first generation American raised by a single mom. So like, you know, I am the pride and joy of my family.
Don't let them down.
Don't let them down. I'm paving the way for our future generations.
Yeah, I love that. I know a lot of our listeners are going to really identify with that because it's this funny thing when you start to see the character traits of an overachiever, that a lot of them are really positive, but then there's some negative elements with perfectionism and procrastination, not being able to start things. Tell me a little bit about like your dieting history up till the last few months.
Yeah. My dieting history, I feel like I've just always been on a diet. You know, I think in my family, I guess one thing that was somewhat interesting growing up is my mother always feared me becoming obese like my father. Granted, they were divorced and law, you know, didn't have any connection or anything like that. But I think she always had that fear and would tell me like, it's in your genes. It's in your genes to become obese. And like with that being said, we would always be dieting together. It was like something we always did. And we would always try new diets. And for her, and I think this is like socially, like, you know, women are always, you know, pressured to care about their appearances and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just remember she was always complimented so much on being so beautiful. And she is beautiful. But, you know, now looking back as an adult, I'm like, it is really odd that, you know, most of our compliments are really only on your appearance.
I hate like, that. That's messed up. I hate that so much.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. But as a kid, I probably was like, oh yeah, like this is all like really important. And, you know, if my mom's doing it, I'm doing it, we're doing it together. And we did everything from like Atkins to low carb, Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig programs. I mean, weird restriction things like you could only eat like one half of a fruit a day and this many vegetable servings a day and like only two carb servings a day, like weird things, you know. And at one point in time, she got me pills to like help me lose weight. Like there was like this cure-all pill and it worked.
How old? Can I ask how old? High school.
It was high school. And the diet, like you would just die hearing this. The diet from high school with this pill was I was supposed to eat fruit in the morning, burgers and fries for lunch, whatever I wanted for dinner, and then ice cream. So now I'm like, was that speed or something? Like, I have absolutely no idea.
What?
I have no idea what it was that and I it was worked. Given. But it worked. It obviously was not sustainable. So, I don't think I had a very like healthy relationship with food or dieting, and it wasn't good. And then in college, you know, I kind of broke free from that. I was like trying to be confident in like who I am and what I was doing. But in college, I had no money, so I just ate garbage food and I gained weight, like, you know, more than the freshman 15, and alcohol. And when that college time was over, I lost weight, probably naturally from not being in that environment. And then kind of going back into like corporate life, gaining weight from being sedentary. And then things just kind of went out of control when I became a mom.
Right.
Like I gained weight and couldn't lose it. And then yo-yoed. I mean, I've yo-yoed forever and I've always been trying to manage my weight. So
up to becoming a mom, what kind of pounds range do you think that was fluctuating in?
Yeah. I would say like before I was a mom, I was like in the 140s.
Right.
And, you know, maybe like I had peaks of like 150s in college, but I would say like I was always kind of in like the 140s, low 130s.
Mm. Okay. So like a 10 pound kind of fluctuation range.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say so.
I would just wanted to know, like, how did that dieting and like that constant yo-yo and fluctuation, like how did that affect your day-to-day life, your confidence, your interactions, how you saw yourself? Like how did that feel?
I mean, it wasn't great. I just always felt like because I couldn't maintain my weight, you know, and I felt like there were all these versions of myself. There was like the high school weight, then there was college weight, and then there was after college weight, and there was mom weight. And so like there was all these different versions of myself where I just kind of felt like, well, which one is me and which one should I be? And that's like a weird thought process. And I just had this mentality that my weight should not fluctuate. I thought like my weight should just always be 140 or whatever number I had in my mind. And I never really understood why, like, I could fluctuate 5 pounds in a week or 10 pounds in a year. And then, you know, it was just this like up down thing constantly that I just was really hyper focused on. I wanted it to just be a number.
Mm-hmm. And then, so when you had kids and you became mom, what happened then? Like what did mom life look like for you?
Mom life equaled less time for myself to exercise. I felt like I was tired. When you're tired, you don't necessarily make good decisions for yourself. I gained a lot of weight just from being when I was pregnant, but then I didn't lose the weight after being pregnant. I didn't lose the weight after breastfeeding.
And everyone tells you that you will, eh? They're like, you'll lose weight from breastfeeding.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Stop that. You know, I didn't.
I didn't. You know, I think there's just some really hard things involved with being a mom, and not that it's not wonderful and awesome and beautiful, and I am so happy to be a mom, but like there are challenges that occur and life happens. And at one point in time, I just kind of realized I had become a victim of my story, and I had no reason to be. I had everything I wanted. Like, I have a beautiful family. I have a great home. I have a great job. What is wrong? I shouldn't be the victim of my story. And I was like letting all these situations and things that happened kind of be the reason for, or the excuse that I had gained weight. When in reality, I think one of my biggest learnings was like, these things are going to happen. Things happen. Life happens. But the reason I've gained weight is because I've eaten food that's in my environment or that's higher in calories, or I've been using it to celebrate. I've been using it to pick me up when I'm sad. These things that happen aren't correlated to my food, you know? And so I was able to kind of shift how I tackled the food problem. The food was different from my stress and anxiety and overwhelm with being a mom and dealing with, you know, kids being sick, dealing with some like really scary scenarios with my kids being hospitalized or whatever. So yeah.
That's some insane and radical responsibility right there, where it sounds to me like you started to recognize that there is a gap between all of these crummy things and stressful things, and obviously wonderful things as well, celebration in there. There is a gap between those things happening and your response and what you're choosing to do about them. And that within that gap is like, this is like, I have to actually make some choices about what I want for my life. Is that accurate?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah, to me, that radical responsibility was something that I thought I was a no excuses type of girl. And maybe in another era of my life, I was, but something happened, something changed, something shifted in me where I let that slip, you know, and being aware of that. And it wasn't to say that, you know, what I was experiencing wasn't difficult, but it was allowing me to understand with empathy, like, oh, you know, this is happening. This is difficult, but this is what I can do. And this is what I will do. And to be able to just keep trying new things.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, ultimately that's the place that we all have to get to, is that realization that like we do have choices, like we do have industry, but that's so hard, especially when the circumstances themselves, it's like, yeah, like I'm in some ways entitled to that mentality. I mean, things are hard. It's a legitimate reason. I'd love for you to walk us through, because I know you're midway through your journey right now, or you're in the midst of your journey. And that's one of the reasons that I did want to talk to you as well, because it's one thing to talk to someone who is at the end of their journey and it's kind of in the past and it's like a nice kind of like story, but you're in the battlefield right now. You've lost 10 pounds so far, which is like amazing. The thing that Keisha, who is your coach, was telling me is that she's seen you go from someone who, like you say, like so dedicated, such an overachiever in your corporate life, as in your mum life, not so much with the food side of things, and then develop such a positive attitude, develop these empowered habits, being less overwhelmed about what you're doing. Walk us through where you were at when you joined Lean with Plants. Like what was that looking like for you then? And then we'll talk a little bit about how you're feeling now.
Yeah. There's a lot there, I guess, to unpack, but I also do love that you called it the battlefield, because I feel like I am in the battlefield and I'm super excited about it. I'm really proud of it.
What? You're excited to be in the battlefield?
I am because it's almost like a little fun right now, which I never thought I would ever say. So I would say, and it's like, I have a little plateau going on, but I'm very proud of my plateau. And maybe we talk about that too.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Yeah.
Cause what I'll say, what my plateau means to me and why my plateau is important to me.
Yeah.
But like coming into Lean with Plants, I was not in a good mental space. You know, I had, you know, I'm coming off the tailwind of my daughter getting hospitalized and almost dying. Then being living in fear of her like getting sick at any point in time, to like feeling completely helpless with everything out of control, to going like, I'm making changes, the time is now, to being like, okay, you know, what does that mean though? I don't, I have to figure out what changes, but I've decided, you know, like I have made a decision. So I joined Lean with Paleance. I upgraded my membership. I got coaching. I was like, I know I need to prioritize myself. Mm. I literally don't know how to do that. Like no clue. It sounds ridiculous, but that's where I was coming from. I remember talking with Keisha about like, I don't know how I'm going to walk. Like I was coming, I work remote too most days. So like getting like 3,000 steps a day for me was like difficult, which is so low. So we have like a 6,000 step goal. It's like, I don't know how I can do it. I can't do it. Like, where am I going to do this? Mm. And I just kind of realized that I had so many mental blocks around just trying something, just give it a go, you know, and it's not going to work out perfectly. Like I might plan to walk at this time. I may plan to cut my veggies. I may plan this perfect meal prep system in the week. And it's not always going to work out. And that's totally okay. But I would get so bogged down with like, I don't know, I wanted to do something and have it be perfect.
Yeah. Cause that's that's what we've been taught from every other dieting experience, is that you only succeed when the plan goes perfectly, and it never does.
It never does. And I definitely knew going into this that I can be very rigid and like push through hard times. Like I have that capability, but I know what's held me back is that it's not sustainable. Mm-hmm. So like I had this weird fear around committing to trying equals committing forever. And I didn't want to like not deliver on a commitment that I had to myself or my coach or whatever. So there was all these weird mental blocks. And I guess I'll share one that's super funny now. And it could also have to do with like no sleep and not having like, I don't know, just no self-care. It could be so many things, but I remember thinking I can't build habits because I can't even brush my teeth every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I got so hung up on that. I said, how could I seriously prep vegetables every day if I can't even brush my teeth every morning? That was my self-talk. And I would tell myself I was a disaster. And it wasn't until like going through this process, you know, tiny step, tiny change here and there, I got a new idea one day. And I was like, oh, why am I not brushing my teeth in the morning? Oh, it's because every other day, my husband and I trade off on who gets up with the baby. The baby wakes up and screams everyone wakes up, everyone else's day is ruined. So every other day I have this interruption. And I don't brush my teeth first. I go get her and then I run downstairs to not wake the whole house up. Well, what I do now is I have a second toothbrush in the kitchen downstairs.
That's so simple. So that's so flippant, like mind-blowingly simple.
I know, but I couldn't get there.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So I just think you have to go through it and you have to work tiny step through tiny step. And then eventually things will start clicking and you'll get more and more ideas as you go.
There's so much to unpack here. Like I love this story so incredibly much because it highlights that everything that holds us back is a systems issue. It is not because we're a failure. Right. And like all this talk that you had for yourself is like, you are obviously, you work at a Fortune 500 company. You're a high achiever. You are obviously not you can white knuckle things. You're not a failure. You're not someone that can't do hard things, but that's a thought process that we've been taught, because if we fail, it's always because of us instead of some kind of system. But it sounds like what shifted for you was you started to see this less personally. It's like, well, what is the systems? Why is this not happening? Okay. There's a pattern interrupt. There's no triggers to brush my teeth anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What's this simple? I'm not going to change myself. I'm not the issue anymore. It's less personal. What's the systems change? And then you change it and everything changes.
Exactly.
and it's so tiny. I walk me through some of this, where, because I know that there's going to be a lot of our listeners who are in the same position where they constantly feel like a failure. And it's funny to me. Well, it's not funny. It's very sad. It's awesome that you're kind of, you're getting, you've changed so many of your mindsets around this. We bottleneck so much of what we believe possible for ourselves because we say, if I can't do X, it means I can't do Y. How can I prep veggies if I can't even brush my teeth? What changed, like what mindsets started to shift for you? I want to kind of hone in on some key moments where that happened, some things where you started to shift that belief system. Were there any mantras that you said to yourself? Was there any light bulb moments that got you from that thought process to where you are now?
Yeah, I think that as I would work on something, so like the first thing I started to work on with Lean with Plants was eating a pound of vegetables every day. You know, at first it was, I need to eat a pound of vegetables a day. And then just, you know, doing what I could to make it happen, the white knuckling approach. Then I started to be like, okay, I need to make it easier on myself, like from a systems perspective, to eat a pound of vegetables. And then I thought about like going through your course and everything, my environment, how, you know, how can I make sure I always have vegetables? How can I make it so that they're accessible? How can I make it, you know, that they're easy to reach, there, it's obvious to eat them? Because truth be told, I don't mind eating vegetables, right? So that's actually, I have that going for me.
Yeah, that's a big one.
So, you know, I really used that. And I, once I got better at that, other things opened up to me. Then I started the meal prep for the week, for the whole family. I started to go, okay, well, for example, oh, if I'd have a fail, like I'd be hungry. So I ate something off plan. Well, how do I avoid that? I should have some potatoes on hand. I should always have potatoes. I should steam potatoes every week. So I always have a bunch of potatoes and then I can air fry them every day. And if they're not cooked, it's okay. Just have potatoes uncooked and I can microwave it. Like no big deal. So it was kind of like, I started with just the super basics. And then I started to see other things in my life as systems, as environment, as like little games I could play to tweak something to make it easier on myself. Mm. And when I saw it that way, I started to see it not personal, like you were saying, like it wasn't my fault. It's just everything came down to a system. Cleaning the house is a system. Mm. You know, it's funny, you look at your kids and what you tell your kids to do, like every day you're trying to build their habits, yeah. You know, and it's like, oh, well, why not me too? Why not the whole family? Like, let's all do this together. I turned my son's toothbrushing into a time for me to do a plank every day. And I tried to do it for as long as he would brush his teeth. And it took like 2 months for me to be able to do it the whole time. And now he thinks that's really fun. And he wants to like always have me do my plank exercise. And now we change it up when we do different exercises. But now that gives us a springboard into something else.
That is so crazy. And that's like such, it's so cool to see this so close to, like in such a short timeline as well, where just the way that you're thinking about habits and tiny changes, totally different. And it's the interesting thing for me is that you had to take that radical responsibility where you realize that you weren't the issue. It's this weird kind of thing where it's almost easier, even though it's terrible for our lives, where we go, well, the problem's me.
Mm-hmm.
There's innately something wrong with me. I can't do it. Because then it's like, well, you can't change that. It's not nice to feel that way.
No.
But it's kind of more comfortable.
It's weird. I remember when I first joined and I did my consult with you and it was, you know, our first time ever talking. And in that short conversation, you told me, you're like, Nikki, you're really hard on yourself. I swear, I think you're the first person in my life that's told me I was hard on myself. And I thought about that. I was like, am I? Oh my gosh, I am hard on myself. And what is that doing for me?
Hmm.
Nothing, you know, not celebrating my tiny progress, you know, not celebrating wins, being hard on myself if something doesn't go perfect, gets me nowhere. So I'm done with it.
Yeah. You took so much responsibility for your life. And I for the people who they have that current negative self-talk, they struggle with feeling like, well, if I can't do even this, then how am I going to do that? Or I've tried things in the past and it's never worked. I'm a failure. I'm guessing you don't say those things to yourself now, or you catch yourself when you do. Is that accurate?
It's super accurate. I would say I like don't talk down to myself at all anymore. Like my self-talk is extremely positive. And it took some time to become aware of that, I guess. My biggest retrain was I would tell myself I was a disaster. Like, you know, something was messy. I'm a disaster. Mm. You know, things are out of control. I'm a disaster. It's like, why would I ever tell myself I'm a disaster? It makes no sense. So that's a big one for me. Like, I will never tell anyone they're just, I've had people, you know, even my husband jokingly, if like, you know, I start getting messy, well, that's when I'm overwhelmed is you can tell I leave like a little trail of a mess wherever I go. And he'll be like, you're a disaster. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm overwhelmed. Yeah. Like, it's fine. We'll, you know, take a moment and clean this up one thing at a time. Like, fine. Yeah. But I like that I can even like defend myself now to others as well. You know, that's, I think one thing is to do it in your own mind and another is to do it outside of yourself.
Yeah, that's huge. And I'd love to hear, how did you train yourself? Like over this period that you've done this, how did you train yourself to stop that negative self-talk and start to celebrate wins? And before we get into that, the reason for that, for anyone that's listening, the reason that we celebrate wins is that we are motivated by progress. We are motivated when we reward ourselves for the things that we do. If we want to solidify our behavior, we need to reward it no matter how small. And so that's why this works really well. So obviously you had to realize that this actually was going to be effective and the alternative wasn't getting you to where you wanted to be.
Yeah.
How did you make that switch?
The celebrating wins is like a very big part of your program. It's like, you know, my coach also helped, I think, a lot with that, and by asking me all the time. And genuinely, this was weird, you know, I thought originally a win had to be like a big deal. And it's funny, wins can be very small. And so at first I was super uncomfortable with talking about wins and sharing wins. I just thought it's not good enough. It's, you know, again, I'm so hard on myself. Like that wasn't good enough. It's not big enough. It's, you know, like you could do more, you could do better. So when I stopped doing that and started celebrating wins, and the community is so great and they actually make you feel really good about your wins, even if they're small. I was like, I'll just try this out. Okay. And then, your advice to write like my wins down and put them on a post-it note. You know, I started doing that and seeing my wins, and I was like, okay, what if I acknowledged my wins? What if I was proud of myself for eating, you know, one slice of pizza instead of two or three or five?
Yeah.
You know, what if I was proud of myself for, you know, going on a walk and not going as far as I had planned? Like, what if I started to be happy about some of these things? And it was transformative. I really think so. I think that made me realize that the alternative was getting me nowhere. And it made me more aware of my thought patterns when I was starting to have that perfection goal mindset, you know, kind of creep in, and it would help me like tell it, knock it off. Like, I'm celebrating here. Go away.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
get lost. Exactly. Like, no, we're not listening to you right now. So then when some of those like more, you know, darker, I don't know if we say the disaster thought came in, it was way easier to be like, get lost. Like, I am not a disaster. I am doing fine. I am doing great. I am doing better than I was.
I love that so much. And I think that you'll most likely look back and you'll at some point be like, how did I ever think that way? Because it changes everything. Mm-hmm. But I love that we've been able to have this conversation, because I know so many people are where you were and how they talk about themselves, how they see themselves. And it is a really, you do have to make that conscious effort, and you do have to train yourself to actually say, no, like, get behind me, get behind, like, you're not invited to the party, disaster mindset. Like, celebrate yourself, celebrate your wins. In terms of how you're feeling now, you're in the battlefield. It's still, there's definitely going to be struggle. Like, you're not where you want to be yet, but you're well on your way, because you have huge changes in your behavior. How are you feeling about getting there? How are you feeling about this process of change now that you're midway through with the tools that you've learned?
Yeah, I feel great. I really do. And like, old me would have been like, oh man, I'm halfway, or I'm not there yet. Or, you know, I've been at this weight now for a few months, so you're failing, right? And new me is actually super happy with where I'm at, because what I've learned in the last few months, I was almost testing myself intentionally. I knew what I was doing. I wanted to see if I could keep the weight that I've lost off, because I was able to lose my weight relatively quickly in, like, I don't know, like 6-8 weeks, which was wonderful. Then that happened. I didn't believe myself that I had the habits to sustain that weight loss. I just thought, I can't keep that up. And I knew that what I wanted to focus on was my habits that I had formed or was trying to form during that weight loss, that I know I was white knuckling a bit. And I wanted to see if I could sustain that. And, you know, I think it was a wonderful experiment for me, because as a mom, my kids are always changing. You know, they're little, they're growing, they're changing, their schedules are always different. So I have to adjust a lot and be okay with things not being a perfect routine every day that I would want to experience for myself. And I think that I live somewhere where there's a lot of seasonality. We have a clear winter, spring, summer, fall. And it's clear a yo-yo with the seasons, you know, the food changes, what, you know, you do to celebrate, what you do to hang out with your friends and stuff, all that changes. You know, we had end of school, summer, back to school, like sickness, like everything, right?
Yeah.
And I can't believe that I was able to, like, refine these habits through all of these constant changes that were occurring, that I could look at it more objectively as environmental changes or shifts, or systems that needed to be tweaked because, you know, something's changing, and that I could look at it that way versus, oh, I'm not able to maintain my routine because I'm flawed.
And something that you said in the beginning of the interview was you've done that cycle of lose, gain,
right?
Pretty constantly.
Yes.
Since high school. So yes. Is this the first time that you've been able to consistently maintain? Yes.
100%. 100%. You don't even have to finish the question. Yes. This was like my evidence that I needed to see. So I have every confidence that I'll continue to lose and be, you know, in a place that I'm, like, happy with, but I'm also kind of, like, less concerned with, like, my final number, if in a way. Like, now I'm kind of more focused on, like, what am I doing, and what am I doing consistently, and, like, how can I get more consistent? And how can I add more? How can I add more movement? How can I add more veggies? How can I add more fruit? How can I add versus subtract? And I know that, like, doing the things will get me there, and it's just a matter of time.
That it kind of reminds me of how I felt when I changed, or before that. It was always this panic to achieve the goal really fast, because you didn't have any assurity that it was going to last. and you knew you couldn't, I always knew I can't keep this up. So I better hit my goal really, really quick because I know that I can't do this for a year. I can barely do it for like 6 weeks.
Right.
And then when I changed my diet and I was like, you know what, I can do this for the rest of my life and I'll make little tweaks here and there, but the panic was gone. Is that similar to what you're feeling? I'm just trying to remember how it felt.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like weight loss, it's good to have a goal, right? And to work towards something. But a big component of this is the lifestyle, you know, and the lifestyle shift and change. And to me, that was always like the big unknown. Like, what will this look like once I hit this magical number that I've deemed for myself? And I kind of just feel like very happy with where I'm at because I know I can maintain where I'm at forever. Like this feels sustainable. This feels great. I am full. I feel like better than ever. And I know that I have room to grow and to improve. So, and I have areas that I'm like still working on. So, you know, it's not like all hope is lost. I don't know what to do. I have plenty of options of what to do and what to refine and what I'm like working on and what new habits or, you know, routines that I'm trying to tweak. So it feels very optimistic because, you know, the runway is still there. I just have to, you know, stay on the road.
I love that. It's such a completely different way of doing it. And I heard this thing recently, which is, it kind of solidified that thought process of, so most of the time we play the games of health and fitness and business and all these other things like we would a sport. There's a starting point, it runs for 45 minutes, you go hard, and then someone wins, or a board game. And we try to apply those same kind of rules to something like health or something like dieting. It's like, no, the point of the game is to keep playing. There isn't an end. There's no siren that goes off where the players run off the match. Like, we have to keep doing this. If we want to really win at it, we're going to continue to do something for the rest of our lives and then have the positive effects of that. And it's a totally different way of actually looking at what's the goal here. The goal is to continue these habits. The goal is to have those, that toolkit where you have built that into your system. And I think it's one of those things that you kind of don't really, you can get it in your head, but you don't really get it until you experience it and how powerful that is.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
I want to shift to some practical things because the mindset is huge. And I think there are a lot of practical things for people to take away. Biggest one that stands out to me is how you, well, first of all, taking that radical responsibility, stop beating yourself up. And you can see that you thought about something and then creating those systems. What do you want to share about that? Because I know you thought of something.
Oh, I probably didn't hear your last question perfectly because I just thought about what you had just said about like the ongoing effect of radical responsibility and being healthy. And healthy is not just like a, you know, you're done by this date and then it's over. I thought I kind of was thinking about tying that to like the concept around self-care. And I just thought like that was kind of another shift for me. Was I always hated the idea of self-care. Like I think self-care, I didn't even know what it was. I was like, is that just like getting a massage and getting your nails done and getting your hair done? And I had like this negative vibe around self-care because I always felt like it was to correct your beauty. You know, like you got to get a facial because you're trying not to have wrinkles and get old and ugly. And it's like, well, then I'm getting a facial because I hate myself. No, that doesn't make sense. That's not self-care, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, what's your intention behind this, I guess? And like healthy living is self-care. It's like you take care of yourself because you love yourself. That's not gonna end. There is no end.
There is no end. And in some ways, there's nothing that's more important. And I was having this conversation with someone who lives in my town, like a friend of mine the other day, and she wanted to start going to the gym consistently. And there was an opportunity for her to join like a challenge. And we were talking about it and her husband was there and she was saying like, oh, you know, is there money in the budget to kind of make this happen? And they obviously know like what I do and things like that. And he was like, yeah, like I totally support you in doing this. I just want to see some kind of result. And that question, it got me thinking so much about like what the end goal is. And I don't know exactly what his thought process was around that, but it got me thinking about how I used to always see the goal as like, I hit 5 pounds lost, or I something happened. There was some kind of tangible result. And you probably know, like you're in a big company as well. Like all marketing is geared towards a specific measurable time constrained goal. Like if you can do that in your marketing, you're going to beat anyone who can't. And like I think that's fine. We can use those tactics. Like it's so much more appealing to say to someone, hey, I'm going to show you how you can gain $1 million in a year than it is to how to invest wisely, because there's a measurable, consistent, tangible result associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I realized as we were having this conversation is that my thought process around results has totally changed to be about habits. So now I'm looking at like, who are the people I want to be like? What are the behavior traits? What are the patterns on a daily basis? And then you shift that out to such a longer timeline. You're like, well, where do I want to be 10 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
Are the behaviors that I'm doing every single day going to get me closer to who I want to be or further away from it? Where am I going to be the same? Like it's a radically different way of looking at that timeline where it's like the game never ends.
Right. Your identity is not about what you achieve and like the goals that you've accomplished. Your identity is reinforced by the things you do every day.
100%.
And that is who you are.
And the cool thing about that is that you can win today.
Totally.
Like,
I
not
see that
6 months.
I totally see that now. I didn't before. I totally had no clue. I had no clue. We did the identity challenge and I was like, I'm going to be CEO of my life and radically responsible and this person that's consistent. And at that time I was like, that's who I want to be. But I couldn't quite see it, you know? And it truly is, even though I have room to grow, let's say, or room to lose that I would like to lose, I do feel like I'm CEO of my life. I do feel responsible and I do feel consistent. It doesn't mean I can't be more consistent, but I feel consistent. I'm more consistent than I was when I started. And that's a great reinforcement of that identity.
It's so crazy, like how everything in our behavior comes down to identity. Everything comes down to who am I? And then we enforce our behavior by who we see ourselves as. And if we know that we've failed 1 million times and that we can't stay consistent, we always eat the whole pizza. And we're like, well, I'm just a binger and I'm just stressed and I do this and that's who I am. Then we continue with those behavior patterns. And what I love about what you've said is it's like, it's not bottlenecking who we want to be in the future with our behavior today. It's like when you said, well, if I can't brush my teeth every day, how can I build this? It was bottlenecking something. It was saying, well, this action's not happening, therefore that other one can't. And that's what we do when we say, well, I'll only be successful when I lose 30 pounds. For most people, that's going to be a process of 9, 10, maybe even a year, maybe even more, depending on what kind of stresses and other things you have in your life. Whereas when you shift that and you go, well, what are the patterns of behavior? What are the character traits? What is the identity of someone who has lost 30 pounds and kept it off for the next 10 years? I'm going to do those things every day, regardless of what the scale says, regardless of how I'm feeling. And now I'm that person right now. I can win every single day. I can win in every single second. Because those people have bad days too. And then they just choose to get up quicker. They choose to make a next best decision. And then you want to keep on playing the game because it's satisfying. It's not demoralizing.
Totally. Yeah. That's what I am saying. I'm in the battlefield, but it's fun.
Yeah.
It's different. You know, like I never thought I'd say that. Because there was a lot of work to get here. It was not a lot of inner work and it wasn't all easy, but now is at a point where it's fun and I'm excited.
I love that. And I'd love to hear from you. What are some of the small practical habits that you've implemented that have helped you to lose the weight and then enjoy this battlefield?
My small habits, I would say, I guess they're kind of boring, maybe.
They're always boring. The boring stuff is what works.
Okay. So I do my grocery shopping twice a week. As soon as the groceries enter my home, I chop my vegetables. Mm. I chop as many as I can fit into this large container. And so I have, like, that's like my snacking veggies through the day. That's like my additional pound of veggies. And I always have a bunch of frozen bags of broccoli. And I like broccoli. It works for me. I like it, but it's fine. so I just always have that available. When my Tupperware is empty, I chop more until it's full again. So basically this like magical Tupperware of veggies is just always full, which makes it great because if I have to leave the house or something and I need to grab something super easy, I can just grab like some fruit and some veggies or a potato and it's kind of already there for me. I have already talked a little bit about like the starch prep. You know, I just every Sunday I cook a bunch of potatoes in my Instapot. I have like a whole half a shelf on my fridge dedicated to potatoes. And I just like eat that every day for lunch. With my lunch, I change up my potatoes, I put veggies, I change up my sauce, and I have this really consistent lunch every single day.
What? You're not following a set, like a meal plan where you have to eat something different every single meal and it takes you half an hour?
No, I used to put a lot of thought into that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's really funny because I never loved that. I put so much thought and energy into my meal plan and the family, and I'm changing it up and your dinners, whatever. And I have simplified my meals so much. And another big one I would say is I realized that I can cook a meal faster that's healthier than like ordering takeout and having it come to my house. That was another big one. When I realized I could do that in like 5 minutes, I don't need to order takeout anymore for the family. Like, that was great.
Let's just stop right there. So you made a systems change, because all the things I'm hearing from you are systems. And so when we talk about systems, for anyone who's not familiar with that, something we're very obsessed with in Lean of Plants, a system is, think of it like software. Or when you click a button, there is a predictable response, there is a predictable trigger. When X happens, Y happens. And so for you, like everything that you've mentioned, when I get home from the grocery shop, I will chop veg. When the container is empty, I will put more in. When it is Sunday, I will prep my potatoes. Like, there's so many systems in there so that you can get into that autopilot default mode and you don't have to think about it.
If I, you know, would be in my funk of like, oh, what's for dinner? Old me would have just ordered takeout or something.
Right.
You know, it's too much effort to like think through. New me realized I can put together some sort of starch plus a vegetable plus some sort of flavoring plus some like beans or something, mush it all together in a bowl. Everybody likes it, tastes just fine, and it fills everyone up, and I can do that in 5 minutes and dinner's done. Like, bada bing, bada boom.
And it's simpler. And you would have stopped thinking, hey, I'm a failure when I get takeout, and instead you take that radical responsibility, go, well, what's the system's failure here? It's easy to get takeout. It's hard to make a meal that I don't know what I want to eat, what's in the fridge, it's not there, what do I do, it doesn't taste good. Your system is now easier. And when we have those easy systems, which are easier than the alternative, we're much more likely to choose them. It's just the way our brains are wired to choose the path of least resistance. So you're working with that thought instead of against it.
Yeah. There were a lot of habits that I changed around alcohol. And like the cue response, kids go to bed, have a glass of wine, kids go to bed, stressful day. Oh, let's have a nice, yummy dessert of some sort. I've replaced that. Kids go to bed, I start making my tea.
Wow.
So, the Friday, end of the work week, right? Like, oh, let's have drinks. No more drinks. Let's have kombucha and play. And if I drink my kombucha and for some reason there's magical time to still have a drink, maybe then have a drink. But guess what? Right. There never is. with the kids, I'm up and down, up and down. I'm not really like even enjoying my drink. Why did I do that? It was just this habit that I had to break.
Like when you were starting to break that habit in the beginning, were you, did you tell yourself, oh, I'm never going to drink again. Like this is it. Or was there something smaller that allowed you to make those shifts?
I feared that at first. I, you know, had my sob story, oh, I'll never drink again. Who am I if I can never have a drink again? Am I going to be a non-drinker? Is that who I will
be? Identity, like, yeah.
Identity, yeah. I did wrestle with that for sure. And kind of with the like, what can I do and what will I do? Right. Mm-hmm. And just thinking through that for myself. So then I just started to, you know, instead of like all or nothing, I started to analyze my lifestyle. And I thought when I started to look at it, when am I drinking? I'm drinking when I'm stressed out and when I want to relax. I'm drinking to celebrate the end of the week. I'm drinking because I think I'm going to have a really great time right now. Surprise, you don't, because it's bedtime and like the kids have to go to bed and they have to be fed. It's not a party. It's this is a process, right? Just because it's Friday doesn't mean they don't have to still go to bed and have dinner. Like,
yeah.
So it wasn't worth it. I realized it's not worth it to drink then. I'd rather have a drink when I go on a date night with my husband and I have those like once every couple months that we get out, right? So instead of feeling bad about having my date night with my husband and having a drink then, I can be more consistent with my routine. And if I just acknowledge these other times when I really don't need to have a drink.
Yeah. And that's like a huge part of making this a lifestyle is really just analyzing, like, do these patterns and do these behaviors actually serve me? And do they serve the situation? And that was a big shift for me too, because I always thought, well, if I'm going to have to be fully raw for the rest of my life, or I'm going to never be able to get takeout again. And so I always would be binging and then super strict because this is the last time I'm going to shove everything in. Whereas instead, when you shift, you're going, hey, like, does it serve me to drink on a Friday night when I still have all these responsibilities and I got to get my kids in bed? Not really. I'm not going to say I'm never going to drink again. I'll just save that for a time that it feels more worthwhile. So you're stopping these kind of default behaviors and you're instead analyzing them. Well, what do I want to have happen here? And that is a much lower commitment level, which makes it easier for us to do it. Totally. And it's much more effective as well.
Totally. And I can see how, you know, for people maybe thinking like, oh, am I never drinking again? Right.
Yeah.
I would say like, it's interesting because I now also drink a lot less, you know, there's times where I'm out with my friends and they're like, oh, you want to share a bottle of wine? And I'm like, yeah, it's okay. No, I go to happy hours for work and now I don't drink at them. Like I'll just have water.
Who are you, Nikki?
So I really am more intentional about what I do and why I do it. And it's awesome.
I love that. Like there's so many nuggets here and I feel like we could talk all day, but I want to just ask you one final question. And that is, if you could go back to the start of your journey, when you joined Lena Plants, when things started to shift for you, what is something that you would go back and tell yourself or that you would want to impart to these people who are listening that maybe feel not like Nikki now in the battlefield, loving it, waving her flag of victory and charging towards the army, but the Nikki that felt defeated, what would you say?
I would tell her to think about what would your life look like if you did prioritize yourself. I would also tell her that she's fine and everything about her is just fine, you know, and to just take it one step at a time. And not to be so hard on yourself.
I love that. Thank you so much, Nikki, for sharing. It's been like a wonderful conversation. There's so many things that practical and light bulb moments. And I know that our listeners are going to get a lot out of this. So I really, really appreciate you taking the time to share your story with us.
Thank you. Thanks for everything you've put out in your program. It's been so helpful to me and, you know, for the opportunity to chat with you. Yeah, thanks. I'm a fan.